Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town. And after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Listeners, hello and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I'm one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, but as you know, I'm not your only host. With me, as always, is my brother, friend, traveling companion, Vince McNally.
Hey, Elliot, that's me. That's the other one, your other host, and I'm happy to be here as I am every single week, especially happy this week because we're in one heck of a great American town.
We're in one heck of a great American state, the land of Lincoln, Vince.
My favorite president, although it's very close, it's a 49-way tie for second, but in the interim, I'm glad that we got a chance to celebrate not only Illinois, but the great town of Constance.
I agree. We have so much history with this town in our family, especially with Illinois. I'm sure you remember all the stories about our great-great-grandfather Rand and Abraham Lincoln and their sort of friendly rivalry.
Yes, of course. Rand was a child at the time of Lincoln's presidency, so it was more of a Dennis the Menace type rivalry, mm-hmm. where Rand would, stick a snake in his top hat or, in his binoculars that he used to watch plays being put on, he would put a little shoe polish around him so it looked like Lincoln had two black eyes.
Or he would once had shaved half of Lincoln's beard in the night. Remember that?
Oh, who can forget? That's why they use his profile picture on the penny instead of a head-on look.
Yeah, it was the day that they were etching his face into the penny, and he woke up with half a beard. And so that's why Lincoln is faced the opposite way.
Exactly. Typically, you would have your president facing right, but he had to look left so that he could get the full beard.
Rascal Rand and Old Man Lincoln, they called him.
There's a periodical written at the time, sort of a predecessor to the modern-day comic book, that detailed their misadventures.
But we have some other misadventures, or possibly regular adventures, to get to today, Vince. And I think we should put it on the map.
Love that idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall map and get ready to stick a pin in Constance, Illinois. Vince, what do we have to know about Constance?
Well, there's a lot to know, and there's a lot we don't know about Constance, which is precisely why we're here. A town shrouded in mystery, its water sources, rivers, lakes, even its streaming faucets seem to come from no particular direction.
That's true. And with us today to help us stick a pin in the map first and foremost, but also talk about the town, is the director of the town's water supply of the town's DNR. Could you introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. I would love to. So my name is Opal Winthrop. I've been with the DNR for about 12 years now. My specialty area is on water flow, or here in Constance, perhaps the lack thereof, which we're very proud of how our waters sit still. I think it says something about the state of our world, which cannot seem to sit still, doesn't seem to have a very long attention span, but our waters do. And I think that is a reflection of the people here. So I'm pretty proud of our waters.
That's eloquently put. Opal, can you grab a pin from our pin barrel and stick a pin in Constance, Illinois?
Yeah, of course. I'm actually going to throw it from a distance.
Yeah, we're just going to stand back here if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. I'll throw it right now. Bullseye. Constance.
Wow.
Wow.
That's heck of a toss, Opal.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I spend a lot of evenings throwing darts. It's a favorite pastime.
That's something that's often said of DNR employees. Mm. Their affinity mm-hmm. for darts playing, right?
Yeah, it is. We have a nice club. Oh, that's okay. We don't have to. It's a side life.
Well, you kind of pulled back the shroud a little bit for us and started to talk about the main draw for tourism and scientists alike here in Constance, and that is the non-moving water. You spoke to why maybe on a cultural level you can appreciate it, but is there any natural explanation for it? You, as an agent of the DNR, you must have some insight.
Well, everyone has his or her theory. And I personally back mine, which is there is a large magnet directly under the city of Constance. And you might not think that a magnet would be the thing that would attract water, but there are so many different kinds of minerals and deposits, healthy ones, mind you. Don't panic or anything. But that seems to be what draws the waters here from no direction whatsoever. It's just wherever the magnetic pull is coming from, draws the waters here, and then the waters kind of settle. Now there are other theories which they make me so angry. It talks about migratory patterns of waters, and that's just pish posh. You know, waters don't migrate. Magnets are where I'm at right now. I'm still trying to locate the exact, like, the epicenter of this magnet and trying to figure out where in the strata does it exist, and did a dinosaur ever happen to plant a claw on it? I hope so. I believe so. And so I've dedicated my career to finding this magnet.
Wow. And that is a valiant and brave career. You know, I've heard a differing theory that it's not a magnet, but rather a magnate. Someone who's controlling the water, making it stay stagnant, almost to an Aquaman level or degree. What do you have to say about that?
Well, here's the thing about the government when it gets involved is it gets messy. And being here in the land of Lincoln, as you two spoke about, yes, I have a lot of respect for our leadership and for our authorities, but I also think there comes a time and a place when they should just let the DNR do what the DNR does best, which is care for our waters, our air, our trees, and our birds. If this is an issue where the government is getting involved, well, you can bet your bottom dollar that Opal Winthrop is going to find whomever is behind this and make sure that they get their dirty little grubby hands out because we want to keep our waters fresh and natural. And so magnets are fresh and natural.
Well, you bring up a good point about the government. Vince and I are by no means actively political, but we do have a thought or two about the fat cats in Washington, as you know, Vince. And, you know, you bring up a good point that the crux of the Lincoln-Douglas debates was about stagnant water, where Douglas wanted these babbling brooks and roaring rivers, and Lincoln said, no, we don't need to hear them. We just need the water to stay put where it is.
Yeah, well, that debate is one that I've read the transcripts of many times. And let me just tell you, Douglas was valiant with words. I feel like Lincoln gets a lot of credit with being such an eloquent public speaker, but Douglas really, wow, he himself was a force of nature. And talk about a man who, if he could have, I can't believe he couldn't convince the water itself to run and babble and burst. And I think maybe there's a little bit of Lincoln in the waters where, you know, maybe he saw himself in the stillness and the calmness. I really feel like when Lincoln won that election, that could have been the day when the waters decided to stay still.
Wow. Profound. I feel like we're getting a history lesson, a biology lesson, and a naturology lesson all in one episode already, Elliot. Before we saunter down any more educational paths, maybe it's time to break into our first segment, Elliot.
I couldn't agree more. And that segment would be called Best Kept Secrets.
So, listeners, You know, we like to get into the towns that we visit, not just on a surface level, but deep down, maybe all the way to the seedy underbelly of the cities we visit. And this town, though it's seeming that may not be so seedy, certainly has its fair share of mysteries. So let's pull back that shroud even further. The stagnant water here in Constance is seemingly a point of pride for the citizens of Constance. What sort of other machinations, rumors, maybe not so proud things have been going on in the town surrounding it or otherwise?
Well, there is, there's a specific lake called Bob Lake, and that is where a group of hoodlums have decided to go and just bob. They bring out all of these rafts, 'cause, you know, there's no movement. And I cannot tell you how many times I've had to break up bobbing circles. And the things that they're talking about there, I mean, a lot of it does come back to, well, the education system and how these bobs want to do away with it. They say, no education, not here in Constance. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. We want people to learn and have knowledge. So that was one big plan that I had to give the axe to. Sometimes we have nice little weddings on Bob Lake, and that's a prettier side of it. But there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you get a group of people together hanging around on rubber tubes, hatching plans.
So, Opal, I'm glad you mentioned Bob Lake and the bobbing movement. We talked to a couple of bobbists during our time here. Apparently, they support the denigration of formal education because as they sit and bob in the lake for hours on end, the sort of fumes and chemical reactions within the lake give them visions that they declare spiritual. And so coming from them, they're receiving kind of a knowledge of a higher power. Where do you fall on that sort of thing?
You know, I said I wasn't going to admit to this, but I myself, in my younger days, I was a bobbist. And I went down a path that was nothing to be proud of. So I understand where they're coming from, that yes, you do see beautiful visions. I've hallucinated various types of glittery animals in the woods while bobbing on Bob Lake, and it's a wonderful time. And I too also thought, hey, world, Opal, all you need is a lake to bob on, and then you can feel pretty good about life. And I did drop out of school. I got very heavy into heavy metal music. I raged against the machine that we call life and tried to pave my own way. And I ended up, I had dug a hole somewhere and was sitting in it. And my father, bless his heart, Daryl, he came out and he found me. I was actually in our family backyard and I didn't even know it. And so that was when I had to realize, look, Opal, you've got some other passions and things you want to do, and perhaps going back to school is that thing. So I went back to school, got heavily involved in nature, a little bit of acid, and then came back to the waters of Constance.
So you bring up a good point that a lot of people think that Bob Lake is polluting the minds of the young people, but a lot of people also think that it's the pollutants in the lake that allow them to bob in the first place, because not unlike the Dead Sea, you can basically stand on the water of this lake, can you not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are, in some areas, depending on the density and for how long the water has been settled in a certain area, it can hold various weights. This is a thing at the DNR where we are trying to come up with a special kind of, we're calling it an EE, it's an environmental egg. It's in the shape of an egg, but it's sort of, have you been to those Lush soap stores before?
A few of them.
Yeah, a few.
Okay. Well, one of our gals, she loves Lush. And she has, she will often settle into an evening in her bathtub with a bath bomb. And it's a very peaceful thing, unlike the name itself. I wish they would call it something else. But you drop it in, it fizzles a little bit, gives off a nice aroma, and you get to relax the shit out of your night. So here's what we're trying to do to kind of, to I guess you could say, blast out some of those very harmful chemicals that you brought up, Elliot. We are trying to blast those out with an EE, our environmental egg, which has a very high concentration of what I like to call love and hugs, but it's mostly just a lot of different other natural herbal remedies that we hope will equalize the bad stuff in the waters, and then that one day we can all not. While walking on water seems cool, that's not what water is for, unless you're Jesus Christ himself.
You know, it brings up what Vince mentioned, is that there are a lot of religious pilgrimages to Constance. Mm-hmm. Mistakenly, people are worshiping false deities, people who are just trying to walk across the water to maybe get to their car or something. A lot of people can physically part the sea because it is so congealed. And so it leads to a lot of people worshiping. You know, there was that one guy, Albert, in the town who a lot of people just decided was another son of God purely because he was just sitting on top of the water.
Well, let me tell you a story about Albert. And I think you're referring to Albert Dingle.
Yes.
Face. Yeah. He has long wanted to begin his own church, his own following. And he came here to Constance about 10 years ago, kind of early on in my time with the DNR. But very quickly, we all knew Albert was not someone to trust, mostly because of how he would take down all of the stop signs and traffic signs in our town, causing many, many wrecks and confusions among where are the schools, back to education, and where's the bus stop? Where do I go to the grocery store? No signs anywhere. And so we knew he was going to be trouble. And Albert's always been misdirecting people from the start. And for him to go out there on the lake, and just like many others have done, and mislead people and try to get them to adopt their views without actually even being a nice human. These aren't nice people. So I think when you're trying to trick folks by using the waters to your advantage, wow, I think that's one of the worst things you can do. Water should be used for pure purity, for fun, for keeping us hydrated, for filling water balloons at birthday parties, for irrigating our crops, for the water shouldn't be used to support someone's very selfish and misdirected goals. And Albert's just one of those examples.
Well, I think you summed it up pretty nicely, Opal. Water should be used to fill those novelty flowers on a clown's lapel, not to trick dozens of impressionable youths into, you know, performing feats of doing the worm across the river.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's water is an innocent thing. And so when I see people using it for malicious intent, well, that just really gets my guts churning, and I have to step in as a rep at the DNR to really let people know that no, water is good, water is kind, water is honest, water loves you, love it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can speak for my brother and I when I say we appreciate the work that you're doing in that regard, and I think you've already answered a lot of our questions about how things work here in Constance, but there are some people that are very special to us that we'd like you to answer questions for as well.
And that would be in our next segment called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity, listeners, to write in with your questions, qualms, concerns, and inquiries to me, my brother, and our beloved guests. We have time to read three each and every week. And it looks like I've got the first one this week, Elliot.
All right, Vince, what does it have to say?
This one comes from Jamie in San Bernardino Beach, Florida.
That sounds like a very familiar town, Vince.
Yeah, great to hear from a citizen of a place that we've been before. We loved our time in San Bernardino. Jamie writes, "Hey, So is it all water? And then he has 7 question marks. Like, what about waterfalls? And then I'm counting quickly. It's 11 question marks.
So his whole question is, so is it all water? What about waterfalls?
That is the entirety of the letter. And I wish he would have been a little more conservational with the amount of paper he used, because this takes up about the top 2 inches of what is a 4-foot scroll.
Well, and he had also just enclosed each letter on its own separate piece of paper that we've had to tape up just to, for his name.
Yeah, this question in and of itself took a lot of prep work. We were up all morning arranging Jamie's question.
Opal, what do you have to say to Jamie? What about waterfalls?
Well, yeah, that raises a really great question, Jamie, and I'm glad you brought it up. It is, I'm sad to say that our waterfalls do stand still. We actually call them water stills. And while they are quite beautiful, I do miss seeing waterfalls, and I love the stillness of our waters, but there is something about a waterfall standing still and you just kind of see the fish dangling there. They don't know what they've gotten themselves into and they can't get out of it. And so I'm not supposed to, at being a part of the DNR, and we have this thing about letting nature take its course, but every now and then I sneak down to my favorite water still, and I pluck the fish that are just hanging there, and I drop them into other still water where they can swim around a little bit more, because watching them in a water still, it's just like having them in an aquarium, which I don't like. So yes, Jamie, it's a sad thing. But if you want to come down and see it, I'd be happy to show it to you.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the town that inspired the famous song lyric that you shouldn't go chasing waterfalls?
Mm-hmm. It actually is. We had TLC out here. I believe it was the summer of, oh gosh, maybe 97, 96. I can't remember quite.
The height of their popularity.
It was right before they dropped the big Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. And they were all so wonderful. We had a nice dinner in my backyard. I remember I made burgers and hot dogs, and we drank fizzy water, sparkling water, because I didn't want to give them still water in the Inconstance. It was kind of an inside thing that the three of them and I shared, and that was a special, special time. And I took them out to see the water stills, and I remember the three of them sat down in a nice little triangle, and they started humming a beat and asked if I would contribute. And I composed the rap interlude that Left Eye did. And I felt
really?
Very, yes, yes. That
wow.
That was my big contribution. And they asked, they said, Opal, we want to do, would you like any acknowledgement or recognition? And I said, no. My recognition is with the waters, and it always will be. And, it was a beautiful night.
Don't tell me that you were the one that came up with them turning into Capri Sun in the music video.
Oh,
was that you?
No, I wish it was, but actually I took them to get groceries one day. It was the day after we had our little waterfalls triangle meetup. And while we were walking by one of those ice machines, you know how the side kind of ripples and glistens?
Sure.
Yeah, and I think T-Boz, maybe she saw her reflection in there, and she immediately was like, I look good like this. This is great. Let's do it for a video. I think it would translate really well and also be a reflection of Capri Suns, which are super delicious right now. And there it was. I mean, they inspired me with how quickly they were to draw from the environment around them. And being an environmentalist myself, I really connected with those young ladies. They were wonderful to have here in Constance.
Wow, what a thorough and, dare I say, borderline romantic retelling of a story that answered your question, Jamie. So I hope that was good enough for you. Elliot, do you have the next question?
I'm still just aghast by the poetic nature of the answer to that question, but I do have the next question right here, Vince. I'm opening it. And Vince, is that your phone ringing?
Whoa, pardon me. This is terribly unprofessional. Typically, I put this on silent when we're recording, but yeah, it sure is, Elliot. It's next to you. It's next to you. Why don't you answer it?
Sure. Hello?
Hi, how y'all doing? Is this These Ports?
Yes, it is.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. My name is Gary Gunderson. I am from Knowlton, Georgia.
Gary Gunderson, this is not a call-in program.
It is not a call-in show. It's not even live. How did you get this number?
Well, I don't really think that's quite important. What's important is that I get an answer to my question on the air right now.
Well, this is pretty unprecedented, Vince, but, you know, I say we should allow it.
I'm in. Let's hear it.
Well, see, my question is about the movie Deliverance.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sakes, Gary. Cut him off. Cut off the call.
No, I'm kind of curious, Vince. Now I'm kind of curious, Gary. What do you want to know?
So I didn't really have a good relationship with my daddy. When I was a boy, he said he was going to go out for a pack of smokes. Then he came back, lit one, and threw it in my face. And he said he would never come back again. He said he was going to star in the movie Deliverance in Constance, Illinois. He told me to never speak of it and to never watch the film. But I really wanted to know, since you guys were in Constance, about that film and about its filming.
Wow. I don't know where to begin with this one, Vince.
Is Gary off the telephone now? Did we hang
up? No, I'm still here.
Gary, Gary, you got to get off the phone, man.
Okay, well, it was a pleasure speaking to both of you.
All right. He can hear his answer next week, like all the rest of the people who write in properly. And the answer is no. Deliverance wasn't filmed here. It's not set here at all. It's set in Georgia.
Do you guys get this a lot? I mean, there is that lazy river scene in Deliverance. Do people make pilgrimages, you know, dressed as Burt Reynolds here or something?
Oh, you know, I think a lot of our locals just happen to look like Burt Reynolds in general. So in some ways, I guess it is kind of a, oh gosh, I go back to this word, reflection of Deliverance itself, where you know, I think people do come to the waters to see themselves and to see others and to see our locals who happen to look like Burt Reynolds. But yeah, no Deliverance was ever filmed here. I would have known because I would have had to give a lot of permits out for parking and water consumption and all of those things.
Sure. Well, sorry, Gary.
Makes sense. Though, to your point, Gary, we didn't meet a man named Van Gunderson here. He's about 81 years old, and he unsolicited yelled at us that he hates his son, and he hopes he's doing bad.
Well, I think that ties up any
loose context to that interaction, but now I do. So I feel like at least one mystery has been solved today.
And I say we go on to solve our final mystery of the segment. Opal, I think you have the next question right there.
Oh, I sure do. And this, our question, it comes from 13-year-old Tina McGuffin. Tina's from Martuckin, Nevada, and I appreciate how she delivered her message here. She actually sent a donkey, one of my favorite animals, and we happen to have a lot of them here in Constance. And her question is, hey, Opal, I really like music. What is the music scene like in Constance? Do you have a lot of bands, and are they very good? Write back soon. I love music. Hearts are drawn around the word music. Thank you, Tina, for sending that in. And I'm glad you brought up the music scene because, well, after just talking about TLC, I thought I would talk about another group that came here. About the same time, if you've ever, you might be too young for this, Tina, but the Hanson brothers, they also came here trying to get inspired by the waters. And I did, against maybe my better judgment, I took them to one of our Polar Pop places here. You get them at the convenience stores and you can drink them. And the little, well, I think it's the middle one or the little one, but there's a Taylor Hanson.
Of course, yeah.
It was his first Polar Pop. And I took them there and I was like, you boys are just going to love these pops. And I said, pops. And they laughed at that. They thought it was really good. They thought it was something special. And but then one of them, he messed it up and he said mbops. And I was like, no, you little shit. It's mbops. But they went with mbop. And I can't say I liked them as much as I liked TLC. But so that was another wonderful moment of music in our fine town. But for some local groups, we do have a lot of good acoustic groups and singers, which I appreciate. They keep the music nice and natural. They don't bring any of those synthesizers or mm-hmm. irritating loops or anything like that. I don't know if I should bring this up. I so closely after his passing, but Prince did come to visit because he's always been into the healing powers of lake waters.
Did he purify himself in the waters of Lake Bob or any of the other lakes?
I did take him to Lake Bob. And I let him just have a moment. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life, him bobbing on the middle of Lake Bob. Dare I say, I mean, eagles just flew up above him. The doves hovered. There's a lot of musical magic that comes out of Constance. And I don't know if people fully understand the impact that we've had on music throughout generations. So Tina, thank you for asking about that and allowing me to have the opportunity to speak to our musical prowess.
It sounds like you, Opal, and the whole town of Constance has been almost inexplicably present at the intersections of some great moments in music lyricism.
Yes, I feel very fortunate to live here and to have come back from the brink myself to be a part of the waters, the history, and making sure that though our waters might not flow in a specific direction, Constance does, which is always forward. Mm-hmm. Always moving forward.
And with that, I think we should move forward to our next segment, Vince, one that I know is your favorite.
Sure is, Elliot. It's time for the weekly Where's Vince.
Listeners, the weekly Where's Vince is a segment I know you know and love as much as my brother. Vince goes and lives in a neighborhood of the town for a week and then tells us about it. Vince, where were you this week?
Well, Elliot, I was in a bright and sunshiny town within a town called Rainy Day Village.
Rainy Day Village. Are you familiar with this, Opal?
Yeah, well, you know, I've talked with, I actually have a good cousin there. Her name's Cassandra. And she and I chat back and forth a lot. She actually measures a lot of the different rain waters that come. Water's sort of a thing in our family. But yes, I do. I like that town very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm glad to hear you speak fondly of it because I was very fond of it as well. Cassandra and I actually got together. We had a pleasant meeting over a glass of wine at the local Rainy Day Watering Hole, it's called.
That's a favorite of hers. You should just, you give her enough to drink and she will just talk about a poet. She'll do some slam poetry for you. She is just one of my favorite gals. Oh, I hope you had a good time with her.
I sure did. Slam poetry she can do in spades. The mouth percussion portion of her performance was, I would say, at first alarming, but eventually very enlightening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets a lot of her mouth percussion inspiration from raindrops themselves. You can kind of hear the difference. Mm. She tries to do the different types of storms. So you can get a feel for both the pace of the storm, the severity, and just in general, like what kind of danger are you in with this sort of a storm? Or is it a nice, gentle little summer sizzler? She's able to capture them all. And I admire her talents tremendously.
Can she do the thing where she taps her cheek and makes it sound like a little drip?
Oh, yeah, she can summon rain by doing that. It's so good. Wow. She convinces rain that they're late to the party. They're like, oh no, I was already supposed to be there. Raindrops are already fallen. And then she'll do it. And then she just laughs and laughs and laughs when the rain starts pouring down, but she can summon it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there sentient rain here just from the pollution? Is the rain actually a living being now?
Well, you know, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I mean, if you listen closely enough, you can kind of hear their voices, their little bitty voices. And, you know, actually I brag about Constance and our musical inspiration, but there's a song out there you might be familiar with, the Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head song. I think they featured it in the Spider-Man movie once, and that was where I first came across it. So I've been told a classic, and that actually came out of rainwater. And I think that song, I think the rain composed it, is what happened. All you got to do is listen.
That's when, I'm assuming, when Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire came to Rainy Day Village, and they got the inspiration for not only the Spider-Man movie, but for that song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. They were here for, well, from what Cassandra says, is that they had to shut down an entire hotel to accommodate the crew because they all wanted to be here to listen in on it. But Rainy Day was very happy to host them. They said they were quite polite, had a good sense of humor. They went out to a number of comedy clubs together and enjoyed their time. And they even shared a good walk. And so they were a pleasure to have here. But yes, it was that visit was what solidified. Yes. Oh, we will put this in our movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can thank Rainy Day Village for that, among the many other things I can thank it for. So a little bit about Rainy Day Village to our listeners who aren't totally versed in the layout of this town. It's a little bit lower altitude, so it gets a lot more rainfall than the rest of the town. And sometimes the raindrops, when they're not composing lyrics to famous songs, they kind of seem to hang in the air, sort of suspended, and you can kind of just walk through them, which I think is a great phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never leave there with a dry face, is what I like to say. It's hard to avoid rain when it's sitting right there in front of you. But I think what a wonderful lesson. Sometimes you gotta kiss the rain, is what happens whenever you're lonely. Is that how it goes? You gotta kiss the rain.
That's what Cassandra told me over wine. Yeah. She said that. Mm-hmm. I'll spend a little more time talking about Cassandra, because she's given me not only something to look forward to in the future, but a bit of an inspiration for an invention. I saw her walking around with glasses with tiny windshield wipers on them.
Oh my. Yeah, she has a lot of different prototypes, and that is a favorite. So I'm glad that you also saw the genius in that. And I think it's gonna be big for her. And she said whatever profit she gets from it, she's going to donate to clean water for everyone, because that takes up a big part of her heart and mine. Our whole family, actually. And so she's got inventions out the wazoo. She has this nice one is a nice plastic bag that you put over your entire head, and it keeps you cool while you walk, but it also lets enough of the rainwater in, so you get a nice rainwater smells good, and everyone wants to enjoy that. You don't want to block that out, so it lets it just enough. Just the right amount in, and that's another good one she's got going.
I think I saw her over by Lake Bob handing those out before different people were getting in the water to have visions, actually.
That could be true. She does like to use the mind meld that often happens when you're bobbing on Lake Bob to generate new ideas, and she'll join those circles of her as well. And I go down and I check on them every now and then just to make sure everyone's safe and that the visions aren't getting too out of hand. And sometimes I'll transcribe whatever things they shout out, like Cleveland, Ohio, or look at that spaceship coming down on us. It looks like it's got a big blue underbelly. And sometimes, I take down little phrases, and you never know how they're going to work out in the end. But so Cassandra, she'll go test some things with the people who are hallucinating, and I support her in that. I just want to make sure everyone's safe there.
Is that how you got inspiration for writing TLC's Creep? Because I just looked it up, and you have a writing credit on that song.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes whenever I have to go to Lake Bob and I am walking around and people sort of see me hanging out behind the trees, they do call me a creep. And that was something that you know, it made me sad at first because I'd have to say, no, I'm Opal and I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm here to watch over you. And they were like, that's so creepy. Get out of here, you creep. And so what my mom always told me to do when I was growing up is if someone shouts things at you that make you sad, try to turn it into a song. And so I said, look, Opal, being called a creep is not such a bad thing. There's a lot of lyricism to it. And so I turned that into a song, and it was TLC had come back just to stop by for the summer, just to check in on me and see how I was doing, which I thought was real sweet of those girls. And, they asked me what I'd been journaling about lately. And I said, well, lately I've been called a creep. And so we had a little jam session in the backyard. We lit up some tiki torches and, it was real nice. It was super magical. And for that one, I mean, I told them again, don't give me an acknowledgement. I don't want it. And they were like, look, Opal, this one's all you. And, so they're very sweet about it. And I went on tour with them twice, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. We did a little more acid on that trip, but it was all in good fun.
Wow. Well, Opal, and to your cousin, Cassandra Winthrop, I gotta say thank you for your hospitality. As Cassandra herself put it, the human body is 70% water, but in the Winthrop family, that number is just a little bit higher.
Yes, that is very good. That's our favorite family motto.
When you're in Constance, Illinois, the water is thicker than blood.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Truly.
It brings us all together.
I think we should bring it together with another segment, Vince.
I think that's a great idea, Elliot. Is it time for Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid fire fast fact segment, delivering you five quick facts about whatever town we're in. Vince and Opal, I have the first one.
Can't wait, Elliot.
So, guys, did you know that Constance, Illinois inspired the Jell-O salad?
I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I guess, and Opal, you can fill in as you see fit, but I've heard that the story goes that people were just at lakes around here, and when they would go to a party at a lake, they never knew what to bring, and they were inspired by the fact that they would see just fish and different other things literally almost stuck in time in the water, and that inspired them to create the Jell-O salad, the Jell-O with the marshmallows and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very true. It is one of the most popular dishes here in Constance, and it is, again, I mean, I think that, well, you are what you eat. You are what you breathe. You are what you're around. And for us, that is often suspended water. And so to capture that in the Jell-O molds and to put the little fruits, I do like to shape. I like to cut my fruits in the shapes of different sea or different freshwater creatures.
Oh, that's fun.
yes, it is. It's a great, you can have so much artistic freedom when you're making those Jell-O molds. So it's, yeah, we have a lot of t-shirts that have that fact on there, letting people know, hey, you're welcome for Jell-O. Mm-hmm. Jell-O, that's how we answer the phones. Jell-O. And that brings joy to my heart.
How does anybody get anything done here after they answer the phone? Because they're just laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah. We got to, it's, you know, I think that people here in Constance walk around with smiles that are just a little bit bigger because we like to joke. We like to joke around with each other, and nothing gets us down for too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fascinating, Elliot. I didn't know that. But did you guys know that it's not only during the spring and summer that the water here in Constance has some interesting properties? It's also in the winter.
Hmm. So what would that be, Vince?
You know, when typical water freezes, it becomes clear, sheen, ice, a solid. That's not always the case here in Constance. It's kind of more of a milky, waxy type substance when it becomes below freezing. Famously, at the time, a wandering sort of environmentalist stumbled upon this phenomenon, and he said to himself, this is how the story goes at least, wow, it's waxy. And he, when someone attempted to walk across Bob Lake, they became all covered in this waxy goo, and he was just sitting there on the shore laughing at him, saying, you know, that's like wax a chump like a candle, he was saying to himself. This musician would later become known as Vanilla Ice, a categorization of the phenomenon itself, where the water here, when it becomes ice, kind of looks like ice cream.
Yes, that is very true. That is, you know, good old vanilla. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I mean, if you're a musical anybody, you have been to Constance and you've let our waters inspire you no matter what the seasons, whether it's hot, cold, windy, gross, as if we have a season that's gross. All seasons here are beautiful. And I think Vanilla really captured that when he wrote any of his wonderful hit songs, Ice Ice Baby, to name just one.
He wrote Ninja Rapped here too, right? He was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which also Constance inspired the sequel Secret of the Ooze, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I mean, well, one of the things that those, the producers of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle films, they came here to check out our sewer systems because they were very curious about how we deal with waste since our waters don't flow. Mm-hmm. And the secret to that is it's a very interesting filtration system that just sucks all the sewage down. So wherever it lands, it can settle, but then we filter it through the sediment and the soil, and then it cleans it in a very natural process. It's one of the things I'm super proud of here. And so they wanted to see how that would work out because they wanted to create a movie where sewage wasn't constantly flooding the turtles and, what's the rat's name?
Splinter.
Splinter. Thank you very much. Yeah. Ouch, splinters. They didn't want to flood the turtles with sewage. So they thought, well, hey, let's look at how Constance does it. And so that's how they got their clean sewer systems for the films. So, you know, they didn't want people barfing at the movies or anything like that, because that can be pretty disgusting.
Sure. Well, the first couple scripts for that film, they just had the turtles almost neck high in sludge, right, and they couldn't really do any action, and they had to sort of retrofit a way around to to create a more dynamic script, right?
Exactly. When I first read that script, I was like, look, friends, I don't think the public wants to see all the dew that we're producing, and let's take this back a little bit. Let's give the turtles a little bit more room to do what they do best, which is restore good and fight evil, and
mostly eat pizza.
Yeah, because, well, gosh, can you imagine the E. coli that would be on your pizza? I mean, I threw up. I read it and I threw up.
I can't imagine that, Opal. Mm-mm. And eventually the producer agreed with you, which caused director Sam Raimi to storm off set and abandon the project.
Yeah, that was a hard thing to watch, but it was also, you know, Sam got a little taste of reality and it tasted like poop. So,
wow. I didn't know that until I learned it this week. Opal, do you have a did you know fact for us?
Oh, I very much so do. So, did you know that the dental offices in Constance, Illinois are consistently rated as one of the top five in the nation? I don't know if any of you knew that.
Yes. I didn't know that.
I didn't. So why does it get such a high rating?
Well, it still comes back to the waters, believe it or not. Whatever mineral deposits are in there, it fills in your teeth. It makes your teeth shine whiter. It makes the enamel thicker over time. Which can be bad. I mean, there have been stories about dentists needing to shave down people's crazy healthy teeth. But I guess that's, you know, that's a good problem to have. So that's another reason why people here in Constance smile bigger than people around across the country. It's because our teeth are so gosh darn white and healthy, and we just love to share them with the world. I mean, dentists here, basically when you go in for a checkup, what they do is they just take, they look, they don't have to clean anything. They just look at the teeth And mostly it's just a nice catch up. My dentist's name, his name is Bradford Woods, and he has been my dentist since I was a little girl. And it's just a nice time to catch up. I find out how his wife, Millicent, is doing, and they've got three kids of their own who are off in college and who have plans to come back to Constance, because that's another thing that we have here is that the kids go off to school, but then they come back because they love it here so much.
Wow. I remember in 1975, the governor of Illinois declared a state of emergency in Constance to have a bunch of Pepsi airlifted into the town to start fighting back the enamel that was building up on this town's citizens.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough time. It was. We drank a lot of Pepsi, and no Coca-Cola. It was completely funded by Pepsi. They outbid Coca-Cola to get this, to be able to do this. They did a lot of commercial spots here, and then they realized, hey, maybe that's not something that we want to publicize, is that this is eating through people's teeth, just because, you know, it's not really the only problem was here. But they did talk about it in their philanthropical efforts. They let people know that they were fighting back. When enamel gets too tough and too pretty, Pepsi's here to get rid of it.
Wow. Pepsi, the choice of a chew generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, wow. Indeed.
Guys, I didn't know that, but did you know that there are actually more mutants in Constance per capita than anywhere else, either turtle, teenage mutant, ninja, or otherwise?
Mm-hmm. Is that so, Elliot?
It is. And Opal, I'm sure that having lived with a lot of mutants, you can kind of shed some light on this for us.
Well, here's the thing, Elliot. We don't like to call them mutants. We like to call them eighth notes, because we feel like eighth notes are a really special kind of musical measurement, and that's what they are to us. They bring a different speed and quality to our lives, and they're a very beautiful part of this composition that we call life. And so the eighth notes here are super welcomed into our community. It breaks my heart to watch the X-Men movies and see what they have to go through. It's not like that here at all in Constance. I mean, we want to use everyone's special talents to benefit both themselves and the community. It's all a very, we want to make this an oasis for everyone. Speaking of oasis, they also came here to compose a lot of music. I mean, if I went down the path, which I sort of have, but I always do this, but if I went down the path of all the different wonderful, famous and non-famous, just like straight up talented artists who came here to work on their art and their music, I mean, we would just be here for eons. So anyway, back to the eighth notes. They are very welcome here. We not only smile bigger, but some of us jump higher, run faster, and cook better.
As you're describing, mutations or eighth notes come in varying degrees. And I would be remiss to mention that the Hanson brothers are this type of mutant with three M's, of course. And they've been attributed to the purifying and almost fountain of youth powers to some of the lakes around here.
Mm-hmm. They have. Yes. Yeah. Those Hanson boys, I mean, after their visit here,
they don't age.
They don't. And I mean, that was something that I called Taylor. I think it was Taylor. Gosh darn. I called Taylor up one afternoon after seeing him. He had a television experience because I didn't know that they were mutants. First, you know, eighth notes, as we like to say. I didn't know that's what they were when they first came through here. But then watching them over the years on their television productions and appearances, and now they're into hops beer. So seeing all these different releases, they just are not aging. So I called Taylor or what's his face up, and I said, "Hey, this is Opal. You remember me? You're not aging. And then they said, "Yes, we're mutants." I said, no, "You're eighth notes." And they thought that was a wonderful thing. So they were kind of embarrassed about it. And then we had them come back to Constance. We bobbed around on the lakes, and I took them back to our favorite polar pop place where it all began.
Yeah, guys, definitely check out Hops Beer, made by the three Hanson brothers, Taylor, What's His Face and Who's It?
Yes. Yeah, they're got a wonderful, wonderful beer.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of that, guys. But did you know that the 1970s Pepsi import support effort wasn't the only thing that Pepsi-Cola had going on in Constance, Illinois?
Really, Vince? Do tell.
Well, you all might remember a pioneering and innovative product come out of the Pepsi-Cola Corporation around 1990-something called Crystal Pepsi.
Do I ever.
Now, what people don't know is that Crystal Pepsi was just bottled lake water from here in Constance.
Vince, we were actually very upset about that. They did not have permission to take our waters. We noticed that the levels were going down, which we thought, hey, that's funny. Our waters don't go anywhere. So one night, I think I might have been in high school at the time. It was, it was around the time that I was bobbing in the lakes. But here's one good thing that came out of that is that my friends and I, we didn't sleep at all at the time. We were actually heavily into Coke as well. And, not Coca-Cola, but cocaine. I'm sorry. I need to clarify. So we didn't sleep much. And so we were going out one night and we saw a man. Gotta hand it to him. When he was on the job, he was wearing his uniform, which didn't really turn out too well for him since he was digging a hole and funneling out all of our lake water. But so we just sat there. We snapped some Polaroids of him. One of my friends tackled him, and it was all fine. We let him go home safely, but we attached a letter to him that said R for robber, a big bright red letter R, so everyone would know what he had done. We sent the pictures to the DNR rep at the time, Melisandra Boobs, and someone who I really, really respected. And she took care of it. She shut down the Pepsi-Cola company, said, no more, you can't take our waters. And that was the real reason why Crystal Pepsi was taken off the shelves, was that no supply no more. So
wow. Melisandre Boobs has just risen the ranks lately and has become one of the foremost state legislators in the country, I think.
Yes, she has. Yeah, she is. Wow, she's a powerhouse. You know, she doesn't back down from anything. And if you want to put some hard issues in front of her, in front of Melisandre, I mean, she tackles it. I once went to a birthday party with her, and there was a pinata there, and we were all pretty shy at the time, being kids, and I was shy in my youth, and I wasn't going to break out of my shell, but then Melisandre was there. She was a family friend, and she went up to the pinata and just, they blindfolded her and offered her the bat, and she said no, and she just took down that pinata. I think it was a Stegosaurus. She took it down with her bare hands, and I think
she refused the blindfold. She said no, I'm not going to be blindfolded for this?
No, she said she refused the bat. She refused the bat.
Okay, I see.
She was blindfolded. She was blindfolded, and I think they actually tied her to a vehicle. They tied her to a vehicle, and she said, you try to drive away, and I'm going to try to move toward this pinata, and I'm going to show these kids what's what when you got to take down a challenge. So I think someone was in an old Honda Accord trying to drive in the other direction, and good old Melisandre, she blindfolded, pulled this car toward the pinata, the Stegosaurus pinata, and bare-fisted beat it down. Candy exploded everywhere, and the Honda Accord's engine just straight out, it just blew out, and smoke went everywhere, and then Melisandre unbelted the car and returned to her birthday cake at the picnic table. I was wowed as a child, and wow. I thought, whatever she's doing, I want to follow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when you think of the effects that the water in this town has on people, that's probably the epitome. And then also, when you think of the trifecta of female authority in this country, you know, you got Hillary Clinton, you got Condi Rice, and you got Melisandre Boobs.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's a kind of reminds me of TLC, if I'm honest. I think that whole trifecta of powerful women It's a very real and wonderful thing, and I'm happy to witness it and hopefully be a part of it.
Well, you know, we don't like to get political on this show, Opal, but I think it's safe to say that on behalf of my brother, myself, and the whole McNally family, if you're in Virginia, vote for Melisandre Boobs to be our senator. She's a proud politician and a strong woman in more ways than one, probably more ways than two even.
Yes. Wow. I would second that, Vince. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of strong women, thank you so much, Opal Winthrop, for your time on the program. We appreciate all that you did this week for the town, for us, and all that you do to ensure clean, safe water for Constance and Illinois in general. We know you're a busy woman, so we appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much, Elliot and Vince, for having me. It's wonderful to take a walk down memory lane and to just talk about good old H2O.
And we got a little walk down memory lane for ourselves, Vince, in our next segment.
It's called Wish You Were Here.
Listeners, we know that you can't journey with us physically to every single town. We're working on it. The logistics are a nightmare. But until then, we can have just a little dictated audio letter from us to you from each town. And boom, boom, boom. Vince, that's your phone again?
Elliot,
it's Gary.
Sorry,
it's Gary Gunderson again. Gary, what is it?
Hey, guys, I just want to let you know that because of your show, I was able to reconnect with my father, Van. We talked for a while. He said he was just going to go out to get a pack of smokes. He'd call me right back, but I wanted to thank you.
Gary, the show is not live. There's no way that this could be true, Gary.
It's not a call-in show. I don't know how you're getting this number. We have to wrap up the show.
Okay, well, let me just start by saying, dear listener.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
All right, Gary, you've gone too far.
Well, Vince, because Gary already started out, do you want to continue?
Absolutely. Dear listener, wish you were here. In Constance, Illinois.
A town with steady waters and steady people.
Town where you might not see any water flowing, but there's plenty of movement, both among the people and among the ideas in the town.
A town home to one of the most influential women we've met, Opal Winthrop.
And a town where influential women are always passing through, whether it's inventor Cassandra Winthrop, the starlets of TLC, or legislative powerhouse, Melisandre Boobs.
So listeners, if there were a piece of advice we could give you, it would be don't go chasing waterfalls. Go to Constance, Illinois.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, hope you enjoyed Constance, Illinois as much as we did. And I hope you join us next week for our landmark 50th episode when we're in Vestaville, Virginia.
Vestaville, Virginia is trying to comprise the best parts of these United States into one town. Please come back. You won't want to miss it.